Welcome to tape number four, prospecting for buyers and sellers. Soon as I mention the word prospecting, I know a lot of you want to push the off button on this tape. You know, it's an interesting thing to talk about prospecting to real estate people, which I've done for 30 years now, and always get one of two responses. Yes, it's something I need to learn, something I need to do, or other response, why do you keep bringing it up? I'm never going to do it, so don't talk about it again. You know, it's interesting. Today we have several thousand people in our coaching programs, and part of our coaching is to teach a person how to go out, find and build a strong, productive, profitable real estate business, as I've talked to you about already in these tapes. And it's interesting how often the agents that we talk to say, I'll do anything you say, Mike. I mean, I'll practice my scripts and I'll learn the presentation. I'll pre-qualify and I'll manage my time. I'll handle objections. I'll close. I'll negotiate. I'll become great at administration, but don't ask me to prospect. To which I always laugh and say, great, so how do you plan on building your business? You know, it's so fascinating to me because every business that has anything to sell, whether it be a product or service, has to have salespeople who are prospecting to generate the clients and potential clients for them to do business. It doesn't matter what the industry is, what the business is. If you're not trying to find business, you don't have any business. And yet we're in a business called real estate where we don't even think about it, talk about it. In most cases, I mean, it's a nasty word to mention the word prospecting. So I kid a lot of real estate people. I say, okay, I'm not going to mention prospecting again. That's it. I don't want you to be concerned. I don't want you to be upset. I don't want you to be negative. I don't want you to have stress. But at the same time, guys and gals, if we're not going to use the word prospecting, let's use the word lead generation. Okay? Because lead generation means that there are leads coming to you for some reason. Either you've waited for them, you've bought them, or you've gone out and found them. But guys and gals, the basic foundation of every sales business is having people to present your products and services to. So since every business requires prospecting, except for real estate, we have to take ourselves out of the thought process, the real estate people, and put ourselves into the process that we are good salespeople who have to go out and find business. Now, the first catch, and probably the hardest thing for each of you to do as we look at this whole concept of prospecting, is to ask each of you to take a look and discover where the business you have today actually comes from. And that's a challenge, because what we're going to want you to do is we want you to take, let's say, the last year's worth of transactions. Now, if you had 100 transactions, I wouldn't expect you to do this. But if you did 5, 10, 15, 20 transactions, I will want you to do what I'm going to ask next. And that is to simply make a list, write down a piece of paper, of every listing you took, every sale that you had. And then I want you to stop and look at that transaction carefully. And I want you to try to determine in your mind, where did that transaction come from? Was it a referral from a past client? Was it a past client? Was it possibly a center of influence that you had known a long time that decided to buy or sell? Was it a walk-in during floor time? Was it an ad call, a sign call? Where did the business come from? Did you make a cold call and somebody said, yes, I want to sell, and you went out and listed the property? See, the key to prospecting is to determine where your business comes from so you can then look at your business carefully to determine what you have to do next. You know, it's interesting, very, very few people will take the time to source their business. See, we're happy that they call us. We're happy that we got it. We're happy that we took the listing. We're happy that we made the sale. But to sit down and say, can I do that again? So there are two words that I would ask you to write down if you're taking notes as you watch this particular training session. And the two words are predictable and duplicatable. See, I look at a transaction I did in the last 12 months. And I realized it came from an open house that I held. Can I duplicate that transaction again in the near future? Can I predict where the next transaction will come from based on the activity of the open house? See, my belief is in training that if I can't duplicate my results, if I can't duplicate my response, I probably shouldn't do it again. If I can't predict the results of an activity, if I can't predict what's going to happen on paper based on those activities, I probably shouldn't do it again. So the key words in prospecting are predictable and duplicatable. So therefore, I know that, for example, if I call my centers of influence on a regular basis and I develop the relationship with them, which I can develop as can you, and they start feeding me referrals in the future, that I can duplicate that at will by calling them on a regular basis. I know that I can predict that a certain percentage of my centers of influence will always give me some business. We're going to talk about that a lot, okay, later on in our training. But I also know that if I'm sitting on floor schedule and I get a signed call or ad call, that I can't predict when the next one will come in, and I cannot duplicate that at will. So therefore, to me, the real key to being a successful lead generator slash prospector, a business builder, is to look at the fact, can I predict responses? Can I duplicate the responses I have? That's why I want you to source your business. See, by sourcing your business very, very carefully and really looking at every transaction, you will soon know whether the business you have is duplicatable and predictable. We want you to have a long-term, high-volume business that is predictable and duplicatable. See, the example I'll give you is this. Even though it was eons ago when I was a real estate salesperson, I called on for sale by owners, expired listings, and I knocked on cold doors. That's what I did. I did that in place from 3 to 6 hours a day is what I did. And I kept track of all my numbers that I was working on every single day. So I always knew that if I contacted X number of people, I could get Y result. I did it long enough to know exactly how to duplicate the business and how to predict it. Well, but Mike, you must have been rejected a lot. Of course you reject a lot. It goes with the business. But see, I knew that if I talked to 50 people in a day or 25 people in a day, or if I talked to 100 people in a day, I knew what kind of response I was going to get. I could predict and duplicate. Now, question. On the business you've done the last 12 months, can you duplicate it at will? Well, for example, let's say that you did 100 transactions or you did 25 transactions and you spent a fortune on promotions and mailings to make it happen. I can predict that if you spend all the money, you'll probably get the same response again. But can you get the net profit you want? Remember back to tape number one on decisions? So think about sourcing your business. Now, one of the hardest parts about becoming good in selling is determining whether you're going to commit to prospecting. And when you make that decision, one of the things you have to determine is why prospecting is so often a major challenge for a real estate person. Now, let me get clear here. If you work for Allstate Insurance, and if you're working for a stock brokerage firm, and you're selling mutual funds, and you're selling hotel space for the Hyatt Regency, you know, for their conventions, you're going to prospect, period, if you want the job. And if you don't prospect, I guarantee you, you won't have the job long. You're going to prospect 4 to 6, 7, 8 hours a day in a real sales job. In real estate, if I say to you prospect 4 to 6 hours a day, honest to goodness, you'll take this tape off, throw it in the trash can, you'll never, ever, ever see Mike Ferry again because that guy's a lunatic. Well, the truth is, every other business where there's salespeople, that is part of the job, period. So we have to determine why prospecting is so difficult for us, because my belief is once you and I determine why the process of prospecting is so hard, we then are smart enough, you and I, to overcome that and do something about it so it's not hard. See, it's seeing the end result, which is the listings and sales and income for myself and my family, is more important than this challenge that I'm facing to become a great prospector. So let's look at some of the reasons why prospecting is so difficult for so many people in real estate today. I wrote down number one. The number one challenge is we simply have not been taught how to prospect. Now watch. Don't get mad. It's not being taught in this industry. And what's being taught is hold open house, take floor time, you know, do mailings, do promotion, get a billboard, you know, get a bus bench, etc. That's what's being taught. But that is not prospecting. Remember, that's waiting for business to find you. So the first problem that we have to deal with is a lot of us have never been taught how to prospect. Watch. We're going to go through in a few minutes a long series of things you can do to develop business. You know, they're the how-to prospect stuff. You know, you're going to learn through the trigger cards you have with this program all the scripts required to make prospecting a lot easier for you. You're going to know how to prospect, provided you want to learn how to prospect. Second thing I wrote down as to why we don't prospect, we don't know what to say. We don't know what to say. My greatest strength in helping you, besides challenging you to think and to work, is to give you the scripts required. That's why with this particular video program that you have all these scripts. All the script cards are there. They're called trigger cards. You've looked at them. You've played with them. You've opened them up. You've thought to yourself, what in the world is this stuff? Well, what it is the actual questions, the actual words you use while prospecting. You see, if you don't know what to say, it's never fun. I'll give you an example. When I started back in the early 1970s, I went out the first couple of days, knocked on doors. Person would answer the door. Hi, my name is Mike Ferry. Do you want to sell your home? They'd say no. I'd say, okay. Anybody that wants to buy or sell a home? They'd say no. Okay. I'd go to the next door. Do the same thing. Well, after being told no, point blank to my face, 50 to 100 times a day, 2 days in a row, I said, this doesn't make any sense at all. So I went back and I took some of the old Nightingale Conant training tapes I had from years before. And there was a great sales trainer named Fred Herman, one of the great sales trainers in the 50s and 60s. And he said, you never ask a question that doesn't start with who, what, when, where, why, or how. Because these questions with these words open conversation and create dialogue. So I sat down and I wrote down, okay, who, what, when, where, why, and how. So I wrote down some questions. Hi, my name is Mike. When do you plan on moving? How long have you lived at this address? Where did you folks move from? How'd you happen to pick this area? If you were to move, where would you go next and when would that be? See, the catch to this was they couldn't say no to me based on the questions that I was asking. You knock on a door and you call somebody and say, when do you plan on moving? And they say no, there's something wrong with them mentally. Run from that door, hang up that phone quick. Because the truth is there's something wrong. So watch, not knowing how to prospect is an issue. We can tell you what to do to prospect. You can't say you don't know how to prospect. Not knowing what to say is an issue. You have the trigger cards at your disposal. They're there. And if you don't have the trigger cards, go online to MikeFerry.com. And every script that we have is available to you online. All you have to do is pull it up, press a button, print it, and use it. So I don't know what to say is why prospecting is so hard. The third reason is some of us just have poor work habits. I know this. I'm not talking about you individually. I'm not talking about your group watching this video. I'm talking about the rest of those agents who aren't watching. Some people have poor work habits. You know, they just are lazy, sloppy. You know, they just don't have the motivation, the desire. We talked about motivation on tape number one. They just don't have the get up and go. Some people just don't have it. Now watch. I believe you have it. You may not have developed it. You may not have done what you want with it, but you have it. The question is, are you going to use it? So poor work habits are something you can overcome quickly. The fourth reason we don't prospect, we can't handle rejection, acceptance, or embarrassment. Any one of those three words can stop the average real estate person just like that. I mean, stop you on a dime. Watch. Rejection. Now I want you to think about rejection for just a minute. You call on a for sale by owner and they reject you because they do that. And you're completely discouraged. You're upset. You suck your thumb. You sit in your car. You sit in your office. You don't go to work for 3 days. I can't believe they rejected me. Wait a minute. Hold on. You call a past client and ask for a referral and they reject you. And you go, okay, you don't have one? No problem. Now here's an interesting thought. How come when you talk to somebody you've never seen before and will probably never see again, how come when they reject you, you take it personally? And yet, when you talk to your best friend, a past client, a family member, a neighbor, and you ask them a question and they reject you, you don't take it personally. See, my belief is this. If you're going to take rejection personally, you should take it from people that you already know because they mean something by it. Somebody that I've never seen before, who cares what they say? Never going to see him again anyhow. I don't buy the fact that you can't handle rejection. Rejection is part of life. If you're married or single, have children, you've been rejected most of your natural life. It's just part of the process. So don't tell me now that you're in real estate, you can't handle rejection. Get a job as a stockbroker. Get a job selling insurance. Get a job selling cars. Then you'll see what rejection is all about. Wipe that one off the board. But look at the second word, the word acceptance. Why don't we prospect? Because some people can't handle the fact that maybe all the prospects might say yes. I mean, you go out, knock on a door. Hi, do you want to sell your home? No. Okay, go to the next door. Hi, do you want to sell your home? They say no. Okay, go to the third door. Hi, do you want to sell your home? They say yes. You go, you're kidding. You just walk to the fourth door. See, most of us can't accept the fact that if we really do all the things that are involved in this series on high volume selling, most of us can't accept the fact that we could be a high volume salesperson. See, a big part of the problem is right here. It's not out there. It's not the public. It's not me. It's not your broker manager. It's not your office location, not the economy, not the interest rates. It's what's going on inside your head. We can't accept the fact that we can become successful in life. And we can't accept the fact that if we prospect, it will work in our favor. The third word, of course, is the word embarrassment. Okay? The word embarrassment. I don't prospect, Mike, because it's embarrassing. Go, what's embarrassing? Well, things happen. Wait a minute. If you're involved in life on a daily basis, embarrassing things happen all the time. Okay? Embarrassing things happen. So my belief is this. If you're saying to me that prospecting is difficult because of rejection, acceptance, and embarrassment, it means you're purposely putting up roadblocks to lead to your success. The next thing I wrote down as to why we don't prospect or it's difficult. We don't track our numbers, so therefore we don't know what we're doing. We don't track our numbers. 1972. I had a day-at-a-glance planner. Sunday on the planner, every week, I tracked the hours of prospecting I did, number of contacts that I had made for the week, how many leads I generated, how many appointments I went on, and how many listings I took. I tracked that every Sunday in a little box on the corner of my weekly planner. And then every month, I would take and add all those up and say, okay, let's see. I prospected an average of 2 hours a day for 20 days, okay? I made an average of 40 contacts a day. I generated one lead on an average day. I had 4 appointments a week, and I took 2 listings a week. Now I could start to predict, okay, remember the word predictable, and I could duplicate, remember the word duplicatable, my business, okay, because I tracked my numbers. See, we started forcing people that we work with back in the late 1980s to start tracking their numbers in our basic coaching services that we had. And I'm telling you guys and gals, every agent fought us every day. Now, the most normal thing for the clients we work with in our coaching is for them to track their numbers. We have some pretty sophisticated software to help them track their numbers today called the Numbers Analyzer. And not only is it sophisticated so they can track their numbers, today, if you give me your numbers for the past week and what you've done, and then you tell me what your goal is, we can say, based on this week, we can tell you 12 months from now exactly what's going to happen to your business. See, by tracking your numbers, you know exactly what you're going to do. Why don't we prospect? We don't track our numbers. And then, of course, the last thing I wrote down as to why prospecting is so difficult for so many of us is because nobody's holding us accountable. You know, alike with tracking numbers and working on profitability and writing business plans, I started back in the early 80s trying to convince real estate people that somebody has to hold them accountable to what they do. And if nobody's holding you accountable, guess what? As independent contractors, there's a good chance we're not going to do anything at all. If we're not being held accountable every single day to our activities. See, in a real job, you're being held accountable all the time. I mean, all the time. As I'm doing the filming of these training sessions for you, we have a whole bunch of people with cameras and a whole bunch of people that are support team and a whole bunch of people monitoring the sound and the activity and the heats and the lights. I'm being held accountable every second as I produce this for you today. Is anybody holding you accountable at all? If not, start that. Because once you have people hold you accountable, prospecting is easy. So we know that there's challenges that you face as to why you don't prospect. We also know that once you make the decision to get those challenges out of the way and move on with your life, prospecting becomes a very important part of your business and the reason why your business will grow. So what I want to do now is I want to go through with you a rather lengthy list of prospecting techniques that you can use to build a business. And then let's identify which ones you're using, and let's identify which ones you could use to get the highest response. Rather a lengthy list. Don't worry about trying to write them all down as I go through them. What I want you to think about is replaying this particular session time and time again to see what they are. You're using some of them now. You may not be using the ones that get the highest response. So, methods of prospecting. First one, past clients. Now, what better place to get more business than to go back to the people you've already done business with? unless, of course, you did a lousy job the first time you worked with them. But even if you did a lousy job and you did good follow-up with them after the transaction closed, those people will do business with you again in the future. Second, of course, centers of influence. Everybody knows a lot more people than they think they know. And the old quote-unquote networking of people to have them help you as you would help them build a business becomes critical. Center of influence are all those people that you already know, people that you do business with. We'll talk about that more on a later tape. Of course, I wrote down next for sale by owners, the old quote-unquote FISBO, which, of course, we all hate to think about talking to. Hey, 90-some percent of all for sale by owners list their property with a real estate agent. Guess who they list with? The ones they're talking to, the ones that are contacting them, the ones that are professional in their approach and have a good presentation and are willing to ask the questions to do the job. Obviously, next, expired listings. When a market is going this way, which we had for many, many years, the number of expireds is low. As the market goes this way or this way, number of expireds is very, very high. So therefore, we have to always be prepared to contact expireds. They've already said they want to sell. They've already been on the market. Now we have to go back and show them we can do the job, okay? Just listed and just sold phone calls. Every time a person takes a listing, and you're going to have a lot of them if you work with us, or makes a sale, you have a lot of those when you work with us also, other people in that neighborhood are triggered to do the same thing. When a sign goes up, believe me when I tell you, people see it, and the natural curiosity and emotion of moving starts to trigger inside these people. And the people that are calling around their listings and calling around their sales and promoting what they did and what they have available are the ones that get those leads for people because of that. I also wrote down just listed and just sold cold doors. See, I would go out and knock on the door around a listing. Hi, my name is Mike Ferrer. You may have noticed my sign. I just listed the property around the corner. It's a four-bedroom, two-bath for $165,500, and I was wondering, who do you know that might want to buy that property? Well, we don't know anybody. Great. When do you plan on moving? See, right back to that same script again. I wrote down agent-to-agent referrals. If we ever have the good fortune of working together anyplace beyond this medium, which we're using here today, if you ever get involved in our coaching services, and we'd invite you to take a look at our one-on-one coaching at some point in your career, we know that 25% of all the people that are in our one-on-one coaching pay for their entire coaching for the year through the referrals they have through the other one-on-one clients that we have. See, agent-to-agent referrals. People come to our superstar retreats, they meet agents, they share referrals. Go to our action workshops, meet agents, share referrals. Go to productivity schools, meet agents. Are you taking advantage of the fact that there are agents who would like to give you referrals? If you're not, guess what? You're missing a lot of business, okay? I wrote down next, sign calls or ad calls. Now, obviously, sign calls. You list a property, sign goes up. In most cases, your name writer goes on it. People are going to call you and talk to you about that particular property. That's great. Hopefully, you're not getting a lot of ad calls. But ad calls are a method of prospecting. It requires you spending time in your office, okay, taking floor time, etc. Next method is cold calls by phone or cold doors. Now, the MO on Mike Ferrer for the last 30 years, if you go to Mike Ferrer events, he's going to make you get on the phone and cold call for hours on end. Well, the truth is, look how far down the list it is, first of all. Okay, it's never been a top priority for us. It's never been something that I've ever advocated or told people to do, but because we tell people to prospect, and when you tell people to prospect in real estate, they think that prospecting is making cold calls, they automatically put the name prospecting, cold calls, Mike Ferrer together. Now watch. I see agents all the time get on and just dial 100 dials a day. I've never recommended. I don't think it's real bright, not a good use of time. If you're going to do something on a cold basis, go knock on cold doors. At least you're outside. You're meeting people face to face. You'll get a warmer response. So cold calls by phone or cold doors are methods of prospecting. Okay. I also wrote down current client referrals. See, my belief is the best referral you can get is when you have a property listed for sale and they're seeing the great service you offer. The best referral you can get is when you have a home under pending or under escrow, whatever you choose to call that term, between the time you sold and the time it closes, okay, and you're giving them good service and they could witness it and give you referrals in return. Next on the list, the 800 call capture system. Now, we, of course, recommend strongly Steve Cortez at Arch Communications. Steve attends all of our events. His company represents us well at all of our events, and they do a great job for our clients. The 800 system is something you need to look into if you're going to list property. It's a great method of prospecting. Affiliate referrals. You're probably dealing with a title company, a mortgage company. You're probably dealing with a home inspection company, an insurance company. You're giving these people a lot of business. These are affiliates that can give you referrals back in return. It's not going to be a lot. It's not going to be regular, but it's a method of prospecting. Direct mail. Now, quite honestly, I talk against direct mail all the time, unless you're doing mailings to your past client centers of influence, which is not direct mail. That's called good common sense mail. Direct mail basically is junk mail. So I always ask this question. Do you get junk mail at your house? The answer is always yes. Do you read it? The answer is always no. Well, if you're sending it out, why would anybody else read it also? Open houses as a method of prospecting. Hey, guys and gals, don't kid yourself. There are homes sold every weekend someplace in North America off an open house. The question is, can you predict and duplicate that response? The answer is no. Next is floor time. Here we are, okay, in this period of time in real estate, and there are still companies that demand agents take floor time. Hard to comprehend, but it is a method of prospecting if you choose to use it. Relocation services, big method of prospecting. The challenge that we hear from top producing agents regarding relocation service is always the same, and that is there's too high a percentage split given to the relocation company for the lead. Something to think about. Farming, geographic farming, taking a little neighborhood, a little territory, 200, 500,000 homes, knocking on those doors every month, calling them every month, giving them postcards, giving them flower seeds, giving them pumpkins, becoming the neighborhood expert. It's a method of prospecting. The problem is, guys and gals, it's too limiting as to what you can accomplish because you have too few people in that geographic farm. Obviously, today, internet referrals and websites. I mean, this is a big thing today. And I hear agents talk about the fact that 80% of my business comes off the internet. And I go, well, how many deals did you do last year? I did 5. Well, I mean, that's hardly a business worth duplicating. It's hardly a business you'd want to buy. There's no doubt about it that the internet is probably the primary force where people go to look at property before they talk to an agent. Keywords before they talk to an agent. And how often on your internet referrals do they ever buy the property they called on? The internet is nothing more than a classified ad on a worldwide basis. Small real estate investors as a method of prospecting. I'll bet if you take your center of influence and you look at it carefully, I'll bet every one of you can find one or two people that would love to invest maybe once or twice a year in a duplex or a fourplex or a small shopping center or a single family residence as a rental property to build their investment portfolio. You have small investors at your fingertips. It's a great method of prospecting. Small builders throughout North America. Tens of thousands of small builders that are building 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 homes a year. And they need a good agent like you to represent them. Watch for building activity. Think about contacting those builders. It's a great method of prospecting. Tenants in occupied listings as a method of prospecting. If you want to work buyers, okay, tenants in occupied listings are a method of working buyers, no question about it. Personal promotion. Big method of prospecting. I mean, we see people do it all the time. I mean, bus benches and billboards, and now they're putting their picture and name inside phone booths, for goodness sakes. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking about, but guess what? That's the name of the game. And then last, I wrote down others. I wrote down things like attorneys, financial planners, accountants, notices of default, REO bank business, networking associations, investor type buyer seminars, new home buyer seminars, etc. I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do. So what I'd like you to do is simply take the time to say, okay, let me go back through this particular training session. Let me write down all these methods of prospecting and let me see which, if any of them, I can use, I am using, or I should use. Now, what are we going to recommend to you? Watch. Past clients, centers of influence, for sale by owners, expired listings, just listed, just sold, agent-to-agent referrals, 800 call capture systems, affiliate referrals. Okay, there's certain things you can use to generate business. Let's create a priority list of things you can do to generate business for yourself now. Methods of prospecting. Now, here's the challenge, and we said it earlier. Whichever method you try to use, you're going to have to talk to somebody. I mean, you're going to have conversation, which means you have to say something, hopefully relatively intelligent, to those people. So in the trigger cards and or on the website that we have available to you, we have all these scripts available. So I made a note here. I wrote down the faster that each of us memorize and internalize our prospecting scripts through practice and role play, the better chance we'll have of staying on the schedule we've set and doing our prospecting. Now, I want you to think about that particular sentence. The faster I memorize and internalize the prospecting scripts through practice and role play. Well, Mike, now what do you mean by practice and role play? Well, you take the trigger card and you take the script, and every day you'd spend 20, 30 minutes reading it out loud, practicing that script, so you get used to it and you become part of it. And after 2 or 3, 4 or 5, 10 days, you actually internalize that script and that script becomes part of you. The better chance you'll have of staying on your schedule and doing your prospecting.